Now, before I go into the scripture passage, I was wanting to share with you. I was thinking about, as you all know, I went to Israel, and people were commenting on how small my baggage was. So I managed to get to Israel with just my stuff in this bag and just this wee bit of hand luggage. So I tell you, I was well impressed with myself about that. And everybody else had big cases, big, huge cases. But I had managed, though I will say, I have had experience like traveling for work having to get things. But I'm now that, is it, what's that lady's name? Marie? I don't know. Anyway, my friend had showed me how to do all the rolling. So I managed to get it all in there in those little tiny bags. But the other, a few years ago, I went to Rome with the university and they did not give us baggage allowance. And that was what I had to travel to Rome in for a week. So I'm now going to read the scripture, and you'll see why I shared that with you. So it is Luke 10, verses 1 to 11, and then 16 to 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Now, have you ever been asked to do something or been given the opportunity to do something, but you decline or you don't really want to do it, and you say to yourself, "I'll do it when? I'll do it when I've saved up enough money." This one's really, I do this quite a lot, or I used to. "I'll do this when I've lost weight. I'll do this when my house is decorated and ready. I'll do this when I'm organized. I'll do this when I have more time. I'll do this when the kids are bigger." And it might even be something that God is asking you to do, but you feel you don't have the ability, the confidence, and so you say, "I'll do it when I've developed the skills. I'll do it when I've done that course. I'll do it when I've built up my scripture knowledge. I'll do it when I feel worthy." And often what happens is because we put it off, we don't actually do it. We never do it. In the scripture passage, we heard today that Jesus sends 72 people ahead of him in pairs to spread the good news. He tells them to take little with them, gratefully receiving hospitality when it's offered and moving on swiftly when it's not. He says that if people will not listen to their message, it is God that they are rejecting. And when the 72 return, they're full of joy from their experience and what they're able to do in Jesus' name. Spreading the good news, engaging in hospitality, and sharing God's peace, these are all ways of giving and receiving God's blessing. And if God is asking us to do this, then he will equip us, even if we don't feel we're ready or confident or equipped. He will equip us when we need it. Now, this passage is Luke's second account of Jesus sending out disciples to extend his ministry of teaching and healing. The first in chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, is paralleled in Matthew and Mark and involves only the 12 disciples. So here, 72 are sent out. Now, some of you might have translations that say 70, because there's some gospel manuscripts that say 70, while others say 72. The numbers actually seem to be symbolic to the nations of the world. So the Jews took it from Genesis 10, where there was 70 Gentile nations of the world. But in the Greek Bible, this number was 72. And so this could symbolize that the gospel is for the whole world. This and Jesus' command to eat what is set before you could hint at the boundary-breaking mission to the Gentile world, which we see in the book of Acts. Jesus begins his instructions to the 72 with words he apparently used on more than one occasion in slightly different forms, Matthew 9:37 and John 4:35, that the harvest is plentiful means that there is much work to do, and the laborers are few, so then we must not delay. It also means that they must look to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, as well as, you know, on our own strength and guidance. Prayer for more workers for God is a duty resting on those who labour for him. And the 72, they're vulnerable. They're like lambs among wolves. And that means that they must rely on receiving as well as giving God's blessing. Hence the importance of prayer and hospitality. And this simile points to danger and to helplessness. God's servants are always, in some sense, at the mercy of the world. And in their one strength, they cannot cope with the situation in which they find themselves. So they must always look to the Lord and not their own strength. And they are to be completely reliant on God. Jesus tells them that they have to take no equipment. They have to travel light, even lighter than I did. So the purse Jesus refers to is a money bag, and the bag would be like a traveler's bag. But they have to take neither. They haven't to prepare. They simply have to go. There is an urgency in this. Just go. Just go and do it. That they're to carry no sandals probably doesn't mean that they've to go barefoot, but they've not to take a spare pair of sandals. They're simply to go as they are. And they've not to greet anybody on the road. Now, this isn't, you know, Jesus telling them that they've to be impolite. It's just a reminder that their business is really urgent and they're not to delay and dallying about, you know, chatting with people that they meet, you know, acquaintances that they might meet. Because Middle Eastern salutations of the time could be quite elaborate and time-consuming. So there is real urgency to go, get out there and get on with it. No faffing about. And so they go out in pairs for safety, but I imagine also for encouragement. You know, because as we all know, when you do things on your own, especially for the Lord, you know, you can lose heart, you can lose confidence, you can question yourself. But in pairs, you can keep each other focused and lift each other up when disheartened, fearful, or disappointed. And they're armed only with the message of peace to this house, which was a traditional greeting, rich in its assurance of God's victory and restoration. And they're not to go from house to house, because that would mean engaging in a social round and being entertained long after they've done their work. They have to press on, again highlighting the urgency of their work. And when the 72 are welcomed, they have to accept hospitality, eating what is put in front of them. Now, in the area beyond Jordan to which they are apparently going, there are many Gentiles, and the food offered might not always come up to satisfy the Jewish rigorous ceremonial standards of purity. But they've not to be sidetracked into fussiness about food and food laws. They've just to eat what's put in front of them. They're to heal and to preach, and the content of their message being the kingdom of God has come near to you. The message must be accepted and acted on by those who receive it, for the kingdom is near. This is their day of opportunity. Perhaps a town will not receive them. Then they're just to go out into the street with their message. They're to tell the people two things. First, they must wipe the dust off their feet against them, an action that tells the citizens of the town that they've placed themselves outside the people of God. Second, they are to say that the rejection of their message does not alter the realities. In rejecting any of the 72, they're not simply rejecting a couple of poor itinerant preachers, but the very kingdom of God, and that has serious consequences. The people then have drawn down judgment upon themselves. Like Jesus, the 72 find that they're both welcomed and rejected. And even though they are sent out just as they are, with no baggage or money, fully reliant on the Lord, this is a life-transforming experience, a life-giving experience. For when they return to Jesus in verse 17, they're full of joy. And the colourful language of Jesus's, you know, revelatory vision in verse 18 endorses the disciples' participation in Jesus' struggle against the power of evil. But he warns them that they've not to allow success to go to their heads, oh no, because what they have achieved is God's gift and their privilege. While it's right to be full of joy at God's work of deliverance, humility will protect them from becoming deluded about their own status and importance. The 72 followed Jesus' command and went out unprepared to heal and to share the good news of the kingdom of God. And this message and ministry will have transformed lives. And it'll have been a blessing to all those who needed to hear that message. It'll have prepared the way for when Jesus came through. And we today can be that same blessing for all those who need to hear that life-transforming message. And we are being called as well to act now. There is so much need in our community, in our country, in our world. And we've not to wait until we're ready to act, when we feel we're equipped, when we feel ready to give, when we're organized, when we're prepared. God is calling us to act now.